There was a time, I guess, in World War II when the men all went over to join the army and the women all took all the jobs and all the factory jobs and all the non-traditional roles. And that's why we had Rosie the Riveter. And we just need that kind of icon back. We need women to understand it and know that the trades can be the future for them if they want that. But it's a competitive salary. It's definitely a stimulating work environment. It's lots of opportunity. It's not a lot of barriers for entry. I mean, the trades want women. They all tell us they want women. Keep doing these programs, Mary, because we want young women to join and be part of our program. You know, out of 28, I think, students that Steamfitters took in recently, three of them were women, and that was high. That was a high number for them. So we just need to change the perception. We need to change the visibility of women in the trades and then let them know it's a great career for them to get into.
Any clue how important blue-collar workers are? If we didn't have awesome blue-collar workers, our lives would cease to exist. This is the Lost Art of the Skilled Trades Podcast. Debunking myths and shining a spotlight on the unsung heroes of our economy. We'll talk about everything from plumbing and electrical work to welding and beyond. Because let's face it, these are the backbone of our infrastructure. We'll talk about the skilled trades gap and uncover the countless benefits of pursuing a path in the trades. This is the Lost Art of the Skilled Trades Podcast. And now your host, a passionate advocate for the trades, this is Andrew Brown.
Today, we're sitting down with Mary Gaffney, president of GEM Mechanical Services and the NAWIC Philadelphia Foundation. Mary is not just a leader in the construction field. She is a passionate advocate for introducing children to the diverse opportunities within the industry. From spearheading initiatives like Block Kids, a creative and educational event aimed at igniting young minds' interest in construction, to mentoring young women through programs like MyWIC, Mary's dedication to paving the way for the next generation of construction professionals is truly inspiring. Let's welcome Mary to the podcast.
Hello, how are you doing? Hi, Andrew.
Mary, it's great to have you here. To engage children in construction, you need to capture their attention. And it could be 5 or 10 seconds before you have a kid's attention lost. But you capture that attention, and you did a great job of developing a coloring book called Block Kids Activity Book. Can you share more about the inspiration behind the book and how it aligns with the goal of introducing children to construction careers?
First off, Block Kids is a national program that we participate in Philadelphia area. We invite students, boys and girls, from first through sixth grade. Some areas do kindergarten, but we decide to do just first through sixth graders. We invite them to a location to do a block building contest where we give them 100 Legos, the small Legos. We give them a string, a rock, a piece of cardboard, and a piece of aluminum foil. And we say, build something construction related. And they have 1 hour in which to do that. They're all separated by grades. They all have about a 2-foot area to build in. And when they're finished building, they raise their hand and an industry leader, and they're all CEOs, C-level, C-suite level business managers in the trades, all come and they'll come and judge that child. They'll judge their activity, their standard questions, and then they'll release them and let them go. And I'll get to that in a second. But after we get them all judged, the students, we give out prizes for first, second, and third place for each grade level, and then first, second, and third overall. Last year, our overall winner actually won a regional contest. So we're still waiting to get in touch with her to honor that and give her that award for this year. But while they're there, while they're building, and before they build, and after they build, and while the judging is going on, the construction trade unions, carpenters, electricians, you name it, steam fitters, laborers, sprinkler fitters, they're all there showing it and giving interactive activities for the kids to do while they're waiting for the judging to happen, or before or after the construction activity. So it's real fun for them, for the boys and the girls. We had about 125 students last year. We have enough material to go up to 200 students, and we're hoping to get to that number this year. So it's a real fun morning that we have with them. The kids get cinch bags that they have with construction activities in them, and the activity book is included in that. They have a little plastic hard hat that they put on. So the environment looks real engaging and interesting to them. It looks like a construction environment with a lot of the background activities and background wall signs and materials that we have. Cones are all set up, big orange cones for them, for their area to block them off. So it's exciting for them. The book was done, was an inspiration that we had just to give them something else to learn about those trees, to learn about, you know, what a steam fitter does, what a plumber does, what an electrician does, and give them some sense of, it was hard to do because it was first through sixth grade, and that's a big age group. But to make it fun and interactive, to give them some math skills that were included within the book, to give them some logic skills, sort of like a highlight style magazine that we created. We had an illustrator who did, Michelle Barron, who did a fabulous, fabulous job. And the publisher and the writer of the program, Byron Lee, who outlined the entire book and helped us out through that. So it was an engaging project. We tried to get it finished before the event of last year in early November, and we were able to do that and print the copies. And the books were all given out to the students and then back to a lot of the organizations that help support us. So we're actually rewriting a lot of the information in that book. Not just rewriting, we're adding about 16 pages this year to that book. So we're excited to be doing that, and then we'll be publishing it and hopefully selling it.
That's super exciting. I want to go back to the competition for a quick moment. What is the most interesting and exciting project that you've seen come out of this? You said there was a winner. What did he or she build?
You know, a lot of the kids see other children doing cranes. So they'll build up the blocks for a crane, and they'll use the string to hang down, and they'll create a ball out of the aluminum foil, and then they'll have a rock yard or like a crane yard that they're building. So that's a lot of it. But some of the kids will build things like a trailer at a job site. And, you know, it's a job site that does recycling materials. So they'll have like a lot of, I want to say mess, but they'll have a lot of things all over the crane yard or all over the construction site. Or they'll build things that are even space related, like our pollution related environmental work area. So they're pretty creative at all different levels. So
I love that kids at a young age can get interested in the trades by working with their hands. You're showing that to kids. I want to go back again to the kids working with their hands. And obviously, they also get the activity book, which you have there. I had the pleasure of getting a couple of copies and actually gave it to my kids who were young, and they like to color in sort of the different trades. What I really enjoy about the activity book is that it sort of breaks down the different trades, what a plumber does or what a steam fitter does. And it really gives a kid an opportunity to understand that the people that build our buildings and our tunnels and our roads, these are the individuals, these are the men and women who do that work. So I really liked the illustrations sort of in the book and how it was laid out.
And that's the editor and the illustrator did a great job. I mean, the seek and find in there and trying to find the tools within the book, like the wrench or the paintbrush or that, you know, a painter would have, that was part of the design. So they did a great job.
Yeah, they definitely did. And you said this book is available for sale if somebody wanted to buy it.
It is. It's available on our website, but this is the book here. This is the current version, and we'll be updating it again this year. We're working on it now. We're adding in a few more trades, operating engineers, some crane workers. Yeah, we're going to increase the size.
I think that's amazing. And I think that that should be in every single school around the country, especially libraries as well.
We'll see. So it was really for our kids and to highlight the trades. They come and support us at the day of the event. I mean, they're there. I mean, Philadelphia Market is a heavy union trade market, and the unions are great to us and everything that we do. So, you know, we like to support them. They support us. And every time we ask for them to come to an event and do something different for the kids, I mean, they're all in. So it's a good environment to be in.
And it's all about giving back to the kids. When they do visit each table, whether it's a steam fitter or it's the sprinklers, what's the reaction from the parents? What do you see?
Well, I'm usually in the room where the building is going on. So I'm not usually with the trade side of it because we have to keep them separate in a little bit. The kids that are building is in a quieter location. It's actually in a big ballroom. And we have the trades outside in a hallway area going out. So they're under a tent. I mean, the kids like it because it's an interactive. They're building something. So they could be using popsicle sticks with the carpenters to build a little house or a birdhouse, or they could be, you know, stacking blocks for bricks and building them up. The kids are having fun. So it's introducing them to those activities, those trades, but they're still learning a little bit of having fun. The electricians will give them things to actually wire. So there'll be some copper wire there, and they'll be wiring them and turning on light switches. The painters will have paint out for them to do, or maybe some wallpaper activity. So they'll be doing those things. Steam fitters or plumbers will give them PVC pipe to put together in a design that they have sitting there on the table, try to figure out how to put that pipe together to make it look like that design. So there's a lot of different interactive activities. Sprinkler fitters is really exciting because that's an outdoor activity. There's a large trailer. I don't even know how large it is. Large enough to hold two living rooms. So it's a side-by-side trailer, and they set it on fire, each of them at the same time, showing the sprinklers putting out the fire pretty quickly with the sprinkler, and that the other room is still burning and the fire department has to be called. And the fire department's there in the yard with them. So there's a big trailer set up. There's a side-by-side burn that's going to go on. The sprinkler fitters come in and they explain it, what's going to happen. And the fire department standing there ready to set out the fire that's there. So they count it down, how many seconds it takes to make the phone call, to get the fire department, to have them arrive to the scene. We kind of cut that short. I mean, they're only going to be not even a minute down the road. It's going to be seconds down the road. Then they'll put that fire out. The kids love that activity because they get real excited seeing it.
And I'm picturing myself as a young kid and seeing something being set on fire and them coming and seeing the sprinklers go off and then seeing the fire department. I'd be excited. That would get me engaged as a younger kid. I want to stay on these programs and just kind of switch gears for a quick second. I want to talk about the MyWIC camp, which is the Mentoring Young Women in Construction. So there is a statistic out there that women only make up 4% of the trades. How do programs like the MyWIC camp get young girls ready for construction or the trades?
Okay, so this is our 15th year, and it's been growing every year. We introduce girls from middle school. So there's 7th graders to 12th graders that are introduced to this program and introduced to the trades. So how do we get them involved? Well, one is they need to be introduced to it. They need to see it. They need to be able to touch it, know it, that trade does, get their hands on it, build something, know that they can accomplish it. So what we do is that we meet them at one location and we pick them up from that location. First off, we give them some training. We give them some orientation. We let them know what we're doing. There's lots of waivers that are signed. We give them all of their safety equipment, head to foot. So they have their hard hats and their vests on and their ear protection, eye protection. We give them boots. Right now, I'm in the process of buying them out for this year. We give them socks to wear with them. We give them 3 t-shirts to wear for the whole length of the camp. And their backpack is full with tools. And this is all free. These are either donations of the tools themselves or that we've purchased them through sponsorships. They get screwdriver, hammer, level, tape measure, flashlight, and then any tool that a trade might need. So if we're going to the bricklayers and they say, I don't have enough trowels, let all the girls have a trowel within their backpack. They also have the gloves, and sometimes we need 2 sets of gloves depending on what we're working on. So they might have 1 pair of gloves for when they are working with the cement at the bricklayers versus working with wood at the carpenters, you know, 2 different sets. So we give them those supplies. They try them all on the first day. Boots never fit right, but we get them the right size boots. And the next day, we're doing some more safety training. The first day, though, they're also getting first aid certification. so that they know if there was an accident. We haven't had one yet, knock on wood, but if there was, they would know how to wrap a wound or how to take care of cleaning out dirt that got, you know, in their hand if they fell or something like that. So they get certified and they actually get the car and we give them a little bag, like a first aid kit that have all the supplies in them that they get to carry in their backpack. And they get to use while they're at school. So in case something happened, they're certified and they know how to do this. So that's kind of exciting for them. The next day we go do some more safety training, some CPR, some how to use a fire extinguisher, how to put on a harness, how to be properly set on a lift, a few other things like that. But they really learn more about safety. We've had OSHA come almost every camp so far. I don't have them scheduled yet for this year's camp, but they usually come the first day and they're usually the first ones to want to be there to help us out and to come and talk to the girls about the OSHA safety and why they need to be safe and the accidents that can happen on a job site. And that's good information for them to have. And then the next day, we're actually taking them to a trade. Depending on where we're going, they meet us in the morning, 8 o'clock, 8:30, we're on the bus, we drive to the location, the trade school. We'll see the carpenters, the electricians, the laborers, the finishing trades. They could see sprinkler fitters, steam fitters, plumbers, any of those trades. This year, they're going to be looking at the electronic charging stations and learning more about them because we're setting up, you know, there's a project going on, an infrastructure project in the city of Philadelphia to get thousands of plug-in stations throughout the city. So we'll be learning more about those stations with the electricians. So that's kind of new and exciting. Then we'll go on job site tours where they'll actually see a job site from like start to finish. Every year that's different, what that looks like. But they're usually in tall buildings or they're in school locations where they're building something. This year we're going to actually a big park that's putting in a brand new playground. So they'll see buildings on the playground facility. So that'll be fun. And they get to talk to why they're there. They get to talk, oh, and we're going to the Phillies Citizens Bank Park that you and I went to with one of the camps. So that's going to be exciting. And there they'll meet, you know, the carpenters and the electricians and the plumbers and the steam fitters and the landscapers, the facility management folks. And they'll learn everything about running and maintaining Citizens Bank Park. So that's going to be real exciting for them to see. And again, that changes every year, but we try to get in 8 trades each year and in like 1 or 2 job site tours, depending. This year, we've increased our size of each camp. We decided to create a second camp. We thought we were probably missing a population of girls that were more in the northeast of the city. We've been using the south part of the city for a number of years, about 8 years now, out of the 15, or the center city, most of it, center city or South Philadelphia. We thought, well, we might get some more girls if we move up, you know, 10 miles, you know, up the street. We thought we would try a pilot this year. The pilot would be another camp, but do it in Northeast Philadelphia. And that one would run for 10 days straight. We ended up with 91 girls register for that camp. We give them snacks in the morning. We give them some breakfast food. We bring them yogurt and some fruit. We give them a big snack bag where they have a lunch bag. They get to fill that. They have a water bottle. They get to fill that. And then they get lunch at each of the trade locations. They're there building. They get an introduction to each of the trades. And they meet some tradeswomen and men, of course, but they meet some tradeswomen. They get an introduction. They go do some hands-on activity. And then they have lunch. They go back and finish their hands-on activity. And they go home with whatever they built. They're done by 3:30, 4 o'clock each day. It's a long day. It's a fun day. And I love being in all of them.
They're working hard.
They're exhausted. They are exhausted.
It sounds like it. I like how they can go to every single trade. They're not just watching, but they're actually doing stuff with their hands.
Yeah, one trade I forgot out of all of this was the sheet metal local. And the sheet metal local has been excellent to us, the local one, 19. They're actually using sheet metal. I mean, they're using big equipment within these trade halls and training centers. And, you know, sheet metals, we have to be really careful. They can cut themselves on that. You know, they learn how to cut it and they learn how to put it together and hammer it. And, you know, they'll build a toolbox and, you know, all that can be seen within the magazine that we create at the end of this. The girls are asked to journal each day what they learned at that trade. They get a book from us a journal. They write in it each day. They're asking questions each day. They always want to know, what does it take to become whatever trade? They'll even ask the instructor, well, how much do you make? They ask an awful lot of questions, but they're very interested in how much money they can make. So that is a good thing. And it's a lot. Trades make some good money.
I'm curious about their backgrounds. Are these girls coming from blue-collar backgrounds in that their family is in a trade of some sort, or some of them coming in where they know nothing about the trades, they're just interested?
It's mostly they have no idea. Some of them might have had some exposure to one of the trades, their dad or their mom, maybe being a carpenter or an electrician. I noticed in the Northeast, and that is an area where a lot of the trade schools are, so we're seeing more of them have a little bit more exposure to some of the trades, just from what they signed up with, how they registered. And that's exciting to us. If they're interested at all, if we can get them at all, like a little bit interested, or just knowing that they can do these things, that they can, you know, walk around with boots on and the hard hat on and the vest and be a part of building something within the city or completing something within their home. You know, wallpapering or painting or cutting glass or, you know, wiring a light fixture, wiring an outlet. They learn those things. Hammering, using saw. They learn all of those things at the trades. Again, the local trades have been great to them.
These are lifelong skills. So if somebody comes out of this program, may not go into a trade, they have lifelong skills that you said can help around the house that maybe they wouldn't normally do. So now you're giving them the opportunity to learn all the different tools or power tools and using this stuff that they're comfortable around. Now, maybe attacking some type of project around the house.
That's a good point. And you mentioned power tools. Last year, we had Milwaukee come and show them how to use the power tools. And that's scheduled again this year on the second day when they're learning other safety things, because that's important. Because what we noticed was that they were using big saws, big tools. At the carpenters, they were using the power drills, and, you know, they really needed to know how to do them, how to put the battery pack on it, how to hold it so that they were getting the most strength out of that tool. So that was another thing that we incorporated. And every year there's something different that we try to add in or try to do better. We are all volunteers. This is a whole group of mostly women in the area that are just all volunteers. We get 8 to 10 volunteers a day to come and be with the girls and help the girls out. And they may be project managers, but they may be carpenters and they may be tradeswomen and other skills. Most of them are from construction companies in the area that want to also know about that trade. They may do business with the carpenters or sheet metal or electricians, and they want to understand what that trade teaches the apprentices and what the apprenticeship programs are all about. So they'll go and they'll actually want to sign up for that day and volunteer for that day to be with the girls to learn about them themselves. So besides, you know, training the girls, we're giving the women in the area an exposure to those training centers that they wouldn't get unless they were being a volunteer.
You know, if they're volunteering, that means you really want to learn. You know, you're putting your time, you're not being paid for it, but you're helping these young women and trying to set them up for a possible trades path. How many years have you been doing this?
This is our 15th year. And the first year, I think we had 5 students, and then 8 students, and it's been growing. We do partner with some local organizations. We started about 8 years ago with an organization called Girls Inc. That's also a national program. And they've helped us find the students. They help us in being like the lead chaperone, the lead volunteer that knows how to organize the students and knows the schools better than we do, women in construction. They've been very, very helpful.
Who are some success stories that you can think of that have gone into a trades path that you can talk about a little bit?
We don't have good records at this point. We haven't really kept them over the years. And again, we're starting with middle school, so you need to wait 6 years to find out. We've had a number of students repeat year after year after year. Madison McBride was one of those. You've met her. She's not sure she's going into the trades, but we'll see. She's going to end up there in some fashion. And whether they go into architecture, engineering, they're in construction. They have to understand the trades and they have to they would be working with the trades and in the industry. So that's all good. Anything that they can do to get more involved in the trades and the construction is what we see as a plus. But we have had a welder come out of the program, a young girl going into welding, or actually she was an older student that came to our program that already knew she wanted welding, but came in, I think, in 11th grade. We've had a number of girls wanting to be electricians coming out. Our electricians union, that's Local 98 here, has a number of females in their program. And when we go to their school, when we go to their training center, they might have 20 female electricians there helping the girls. So they see it. They can picture themselves doing that job, working hand in hand with another female apprentice or tradeswoman, journeywoman. So we have a lot of young girls that are interested in being electricians.
I had a chance to meet Madison when we were in Las Vegas for the summit. And she got up in front of 85 professionals in a room, and she knocked it out of the park. When I went over to her to shake her hand, she almost broke my hand. She's got a firm grip. She looks you in the eye, and she's on point.
That is definitely one thing that a number of us are passionate about, the handshake and eye contact when you first meet somebody. And we share that with the girls. You know, we don't want a wimpy hand touching us. Even if they're not confident, it shows confidence. You know, I was never really a confident person, but that was one thing that I learned that helped me become more confident when I was introduced to somebody, just by a firm handshake. So it's something that we do teach the girls. Madison skills came about a number of ways. One, she's been with us for a number of years, but she, and I want to give Girls Inc. a plus on this and credit for this, because it's their organization that helped with the public speaking and the presentation skills. It's not so much us. I mean, she's been around a number of the volunteers maybe to see us talking, but she, it's more, I think, them and them instructing like how to take the notes, how to ask the questions when you're going to the trade schools. You know, what types of things to ask about. And I think she's just over the years have seen that. So they've done a lot of that coaching, and I give them all the credit for that.
Yeah, it's not only the technical skills, also the soft skills that you need to go hand in hand, because you can have the tech side, but you don't have the soft skills, the customer service, or looking someone in the eye. That goes a long way, especially when you want to go for a job interview. Those pieces and parts go a long way. So it's great that you're instilling that.
If you look through the magazine that the girls create, they learn about networking. They learn about interview skills, like you said. They learn how to write a resume. You know, they learn the top five things, I think, about, you know, walking into a room and how to present yourself. So a lot of these girls don't have that. They don't have that education. They don't have that background. They don't learn it. It's not something that's typically taught within a school, in a middle or high school here. So that's a good thing for them to learn.
I wanted to go back to that 4% of women in the trades, and I wanted to get a better understanding from your perspective. Why isn't that number higher? And what are some of the challenges that women face in the construction industry or getting into the trades?
I do want to say I believe it's confidence. I believe that it's, they don't know that the trades are there. They don't know the skill sets there. So STAC, you know, the Skilled Trades Advisory Council, and the progress that they're making and the work that they're doing, and trade schools in general, where they're teaching them, you know, they took that out. I mean, it was in high schools when I was there. So I think that gave boys and girls an opportunity to see a skilled trader, to use their hands or see, think that it was okay. Again, we're pushing them more towards college that may or may not be good for them. I've had two children come out of college and then go into the trades. So 4 years in college, you know, 5 years in the trade, a boy and a girl, you know. So my daughter is a history major, learned all about it, wanted to work in a museum, ended up not finding the job that she wanted, signed up for the steam fitters and went through a five-year program and, you know, is a steam fitter. And my son is the same. Four-year college at Temple University, and then came out and went into steam fitters local. So, you know, so that's 9 years of their education. Now, I was happy they went to college. I was one of those parents, but that was not where they ended up being. Learning all those skill sets were fine, but the trade was really what's sustaining them today. So that's a plus. Women, again, I think it's exposure in the beginning to any of those programs. So anytime we can expose young women to the trades, I think, is a good thing and a plus, and that'll help us get more women in the trades. You know, the 4%, that's not that much, but it has grown over the past few years, and that's a good thing. So, and there was a time, I guess, in World War II, when the men all went over to join the army and the women all took all the jobs and all the factory jobs and all the non-traditional roles. And that's why we had Rosie the Riveter. And we just need that kind of icon back. We need women to understand it and know that the trades can be the future for them if they want that. But it's a competitive salary. It's definitely a stimulating work environment. It's lots of opportunity. It's not a lot of barriers for entry. I mean, the trades want women. They all tell us they want women. Keep doing these programs, Mary, because we want young women to join and be part of our program. You know, out of 28, I think, students that Steamfitters took in recently, 3 of them were women, and that was high. That was a high number for them. So we just need to change the perception. We need to change the visibility of women in the trades and then let them know it's a great career for them to get into.
I see strong women like Jamie McMillan up in Canada, who is in ironwork. And I mention her almost on every podcast, but she's doing wonderful things. And you've met her, and she gave a keynote again down in Las Vegas where we were at. And I've seen her in action. I was also at a technical school with her a couple months ago, and she gave another speech. And I walked around the technical school with her, and we were meeting all these different kids and what they were doing. What she's doing and what some other women are doing is showing kids exactly what you can do and you could be successful, and giving them the confidence that they can do that work, that you can make 6 figures. But I also feel it's the support side, because I do feel there's some companies and there's stuff out there, especially on social media, that women are not treated right on job sites, and it might keep women out of a trade because it's what they hear. It's not necessarily what's happening.
I do think that's changing a little bit. I mean, I've heard all of the same things. There's not the right, you know, restroom facilities. They have to walk a lot further to get to a restroom. You know, they get more comments, sly from different men in the group. But I think men's perspective of women on the job site is changing, and I'm hoping that it does. I mean, you're always going to have those few that, you know, will call out some slang language, but I think the women are getting stronger and they have a more support group. They're supportive of each other and in the field. And that's what we're seeing. They're more engaging. There's more programs where, you know, there's Rosie the Riveter and there's Rosie's Girls. There's a different women groups that are helping support the women that are in the trades themselves. So I'm hoping that those stereotypes are changing and that, you know, they're feeling a little bit more comfortable. A lot of women don't like getting their hands dirty. You know, they don't like being all greasy or messy or wearing gloves or dirty clothes. And as soon as you walk out the door on the job site, you got dirt all over you. So a lot of women don't like that. Some can handle it. Some can do it. So again, the money's great.
Well, you're leading the way, especially with MyWIC and having those potential women who may go into the trades. You're giving them confidence builders by teaching them, again, not only technical skills, but also the soft skills. And that's an amazing program that I would like to share with many other people out there. And I know you're maybe at capacity, but I can see that almost like a national push. And I can envision that of doing that in every state.
There is, through the National Association of Women in Construction, there is a number of different camps throughout the country. I don't think any of them are as extensive as ours. And again, I'm going to give credit back to the local unions, because they're the ones that are letting us and supporting us in coming to their trades to teach. And, you know, they're opening their doors to us. So I think that's real helpful in our market. And I don't know that I could pull that off in every market. I don't know that I have all that support, but we would love it to be national, as long as we had those connections. It's the sponsors that we get to sponsor the program. I mean, it's costing us, you know, a good amount of money to supply just all the equipment. It's nothing that we take back. The girls keep it. And if they come back the next year, they still get a new hard hat and a new vest. But, you know, most of them are new girls. So this year we're shooting for 88. We're going to have 88 girls sign up for this program this year. That's just amazing. And again, it's a committee that starts planning for this and working on it in January for a camp that starts in June. So there's 6 months of preparation that goes into this, of where we're going, what we're doing, what we're buying for them, and how we're buying it, how we're raising funds so that we can buy the things that we need to buy for them, provide their meals and their transportation. I mean, the busing alone this year is costing over $10,000. There's 25 days total that we're doing this year, 10 for the first camp that's in Northeast, the first pilot that we're doing there. And then there's 15 in the other camp that runs over 6 weeks. So it's 25 total days. The busing alone is 10 grand. So, you know, $80 boots for 88 girls, and do the math. It's a lot of money.
It's a heavy investment in, but for the right reasons. And considering that 15 years ago, you were only at 5 students, and now you're at almost 88, is impressive that it has grown over the years. You have a lot of stuff going on across the board. What's next for Mary?
We finished camp on August 8th. That's our graduation. A graduation ceremony, we invite the parents back and we do a fun activity with the girls. We give out prizes and awards. They get a 5x7 frame with them doing a picture of them. They're all geared up and using some piece of equipment that they've been at one of the trade sites. It takes us till the following year to get the magazine created that we have that shows what the girls accomplished. And every day there is a different story. The girls write this magazine. We don't write it. They write this. They put in the pictures. We do edit. We have to put it together, and we wait till the following year to actually publish it and put it together. So what's next for me? We graduate when the parents all come back on August 8th, and we have a big luncheon and we celebrate the girls for graduating. Thank everybody that participated. Thank our sponsors out. And then I get a break, a couple weeks. Then at the end of August, we start planning for Block Kids, and that's November 2nd. So the year's pretty full with these activities. And again, it's all volunteer. That's the fun part of it. I get to meet a new committee, a new group each year. And the committee for MyWIC Camp this year is just awesome. It's very strong women within the industry, and they have tons of ideas. So I hope to keep them around for the next few years because they made my job so easy this year. Again, we'll start Block Kids, and that's always different mindset where we're looking for prizes for first through sixth graders and activities for them to do. And then that's it, the holidays, and start back up again. I plan on doing this for as long as I can.
At least you get a little bit of rest and relaxation for a few weeks, but you're making such an impact in so many different ways. It was really special for me to meet you and to be on the foundation, the Skilled Trades Advisory Council, with you and seeing what you're doing and other members are doing. We're slowly making that impact, and it's just wonderful to see what you're doing. If people want to find out more about these different programs, how do they reach out to you? What's the best way? What's social media or?
I mean, social media is fine. You have a link to the foundation. They can come and visit us on the website there, which is just nawicpf.org. It's all about the board of the foundation and then the activities that we have with MyWIC and Black Kids and selling the magazine if they want to pick up a copy of it or the activity book. So it's that. They can also reach me through, you know, LinkedIn, I guess, is probably one of the avenues, or Instagram, and then email, always a good way.
Well, definitely connect with Mary Gaffney and watch out because she's making a huge impact in the industry. Mary, it has been a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Andrew.
And thank you to our listeners, where our mission is to flip the script on the blue-collar skilled trades and make them cool. Once again, we'll see you on the next episode.
You've been listening to the Lost Art of the Skilled Trades podcast. Sure, nothing wrong with going to college, but there's just as much honor and need for people to be blue-collar workers that are the very backbone of our infrastructure. Thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, follow Andrew Brown on LinkedIn, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram, and hit the website at www.andrewbrowntrades.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.